One of the things that I appreciate a lot about the gospel accounts of the resurrection is the total mayhem that the gospel accounts describe. There are differing details from one evangelist to the other because they all have quite different descriptions of what happened that morning. They're all similar, but they're different. Is there one angel? Are there two angels? Which women exactly went to the tomb? According to Matthew, we have Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, whoever that might be. According to Mark, we have Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and a woman by the name of Salome. According to Luke, we have Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, a woman by the name of Joanna, and the other women who had followed Jesus from Galilee. And according to John, we only have Mary Magdalene. She's the only one who's named. Eventually, there is a sort of a passing mention of other women. And we have the rushing back and forth to the tomb and all of the confusion around whatever's happening that morning. And we have the initial disbelief of everyone, including the women and the disciples, initial disbelief that Jesus has actually risen from the dead. And in fact, in John's account of Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb, she rushes back to the disciples to tell them that they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. So even she thinks that someone has stolen the body. It isn't until later, after Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved entered the tomb with Mary, or went back to the tomb with Mary, and then returned to their place of hiding, she's left alone at the tomb. It's only then when she sees two angels and then eventually meets Jesus, whom she mistakes for the gardener, that she is convinced of his resurrection. And I appreciate that, because for me, the disparity in the accounts and the honest admission that even Jesus' closest followers wouldn't or couldn't accept that he had risen from the dead lends an air of authenticity to what can otherwise be received as just a fanciful or even a delusional retelling of a story that's just too far outside our experience of life. People just don't rise from the dead in our experience. And I also appreciate these differing accounts and admissions of disbelief, because the Gospels then are not a one-dimensional tale of stalwart belief, an unwavering embrace of a narrative that never allows for doubt or question. They're not a choreographed, verbatim repetition of positive mantras about the risen Lord and the saintly followers who just knew that everything was going to work out. It's not that at all. They're not a collection of cheerleading chants meant to pump up the faithful with no room for doubt or questioning. It's not a sanitized, perfect story of unshakable faith and wondrous certainty. Instead, they're a collection of sometimes very personal struggles to understand the impact of this event, and a window into the fragile nature of this body of people who were looking to Jesus to change their lives and who were almost reluctantly convinced of the reality of Jesus' resurrection. But convinced, ultimately, they were. And the Gospels then are an unflinching in their confidence in the truth of this event of the resurrection. And so Easter then becomes the central part of the Christian calendar. One of the songs we just sang speaks of the cornerstone. And it becomes the embodiment of the promise that death is not the final word where our existence is concerned. It becomes the day on which we celebrate life, new life. And it becomes the focal point of our hope. And I don't personally believe that that hope is just a hope that Jesus has conquered death and that we can expect eternal life. I believe the Easter event is also a validation of the hope expressed during Jesus' ministry that we can be better than we usually are. The hope derived from the belief made certain in the resurrection that we're not naive to think that we should treat others as we would have them treat ourselves. The hope bolstered by the resurrection that apparent failure in the face of resistance to right action is only apparent failure. That apparent failure may only be a step forward in the long struggle of faithfulness. and the hope shown to be manifested in the resurrection, that God has not forsaken us, regardless of what our circumstances may be. Over the course of this Lenten season, I've been working with some of the younger members of MFM to explore and bring to life, to some extent, the events of the weekend of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We've put together a video to celebrate Easter, and we hope you enjoy watching what we've produced. So a thank you to everyone who took part in the making of this video, and my apologies to those who might have wanted to take part but weren't able to because I couldn't get my own act together in time to organize everything early enough or contact people that I would have liked to have asked to be a part of this. For those of you who know me, and for those of you who don't know me perhaps, those of you who know me know my sense of humor, so you'll not be surprised that the finished product is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I hope you'll take it as a lighthearted attempt to breathe some life into an old story of an event of world-changing importance, and that you'll take it as a way of letting some of our younger members give voice to their developing faith, and to accept it as a celebration of Easter and life worthy of this circle of faith. One word of explanation before we actually start. The opening clip is not a blooper. It was performed as written. He is risen. He is risen indeed.